From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. After 3 months on strike, more than 10,000 movie and television writers are casting ballots on a tentative contract with studios. Writers Guild of America rank and file began voting yesterday. Results will be announced tomorrow night, and most Hollywood watchers expect the industry will be back in business by Wednesday. The deal delivers writers a share of the money studios make on the internet and establishes union jurisdiction over online programming. Over the last 3 months, the California Report has chronicled how global warming is raising the state's average temperature and changing California's ecosystems.
Migrating songbirds are arriving earlier in the spring, up to 2 or 3 weeks earlier.
More extremes, lots of water during wet years, and more severe drought.
That's the sound of rain falling on snow. And if you're a climatologist, that's not a good sound.
Scientists warn that over the next 100 years, our storms will bring more rain and less snow. So water managers will no longer be able to rely on a thick snowpack in the Sierra Nevada. That's a major part of our water supply.
It's hard to convey both the seriousness of the problem and yet at the same time not scare people by making it sound like life in California is going to become somehow much grimmer and less pleasant.
Mary Nichols runs the state's Air Resources Board, but over the years she's been an environmentalist and a regulator with an eye for the big picture. Today we ask Nichols and others what water managers can do to face the coming changes. Fortunately, Nichols says, California is packed with scientists researching climate change.
We will be able to make some more educated judgments about when and where the rain will fall on average, knowing that we're vulnerable to these sudden surges of flooding. We have to be doing a better job of allowing ourselves to capture the rain when it falls. In Los Angeles, where I'm from, we're really looking at replumbing the whole city.
In the Santa Monica Mountains above Los Angeles, you'll find the headquarters for one of the organizations in the vanguard of LA's water makeover, an eco-advocacy group called Tree People. Founder Andy Lipkus.
The connection between water and trees is completely inseparable, and oddly, we've forgotten it. Trees have always been nature's water capture, water filter, water recharge machine.
Tree People is building a watershed education center to make watershed management buzzwords on the lips of elementary school children across Southern California. Since the site is under construction, we've taken the liberty of adding a few sound effects to give you an audible sense of the Tree People vision. Lipkus says the soil and root system under one broad oak tree, with a 100-foot diameter canopy, for example, can filter 57,000 gallons of water in a year from just 12 inches of rainfall.
On the ground, you find leaves and acorns and twigs, and then you scratch down a little bit, and you find that stuff breaking down. It starts to become compost, and then it becomes mulch, and then humus, and then lovely rich soil, and it's filled with critters, from tiny microscopic fungi to little bugs to bugs that get bigger and bigger, all the way to snakes and rodents. And everybody is digging and everybody is drilling, and together they are cleaning the water. And the water that comes into that space recharges our groundwater system, the aquifer.
Lipkus says much of the natural capacity of the groundwater system is going unused in Los Angeles.
L.A. receives over half the water it needs in a year, typically. But because of the way it has been built, structured, and managed, it throws almost all of it away.
When the LaCrette's Watershed Garden opens later this year, children will encounter a model of a typical L.A. city block. A house, a driveway, a curb, and a storm drain. On one side of the demonstration model,
over two-thirds of the land is sealed. So when it rains, most of the water runs off, carries pollution to the ocean, creating one of the biggest global water pollution problems coming right off our streets, right off our driveways.
Then kids get to see the same block if Tree People ruled L.A. On this side of the demonstration model, the concrete is permeable, so water can make its way underground. Their trees can filter the water, and cisterns can hold some of it for use in warm weather.
and that is the city healed. We take all the lessons of the cycles of nature and overlay them on the existing city.
If this strikes you as a little romantic, you'd be just like water officials in L.A. reacting to Lipkis 10 years ago. But in the last decade, Lipkis and his merry band of forest activists have been building demonstration projects around Southern California to change people's attitudes. Santa Monica, to name one city, sponsors grant programs now to encourage homeowners to renovate their yards. Could this be the future of California?
There isn't one single answer to the water problem. It's going to be a lot of different innovative things.
Peter Glick, member of the National Academy of Sciences, MacArthur Fellow, and head of the Pacific Institute, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank.
You know, you get some innovative farmers putting in drip on crops that have never had drip before. Orange County is actually, I think, good at outdoor irrigation efficiency. Marin has been very good on indoor conservation programs. I would say there's no community that's doing everything right, but there are innovative programs all over the state.
Some ideas: expand public adoption of low-flow showerheads, washing machines, and toilets. Get people to use so-called gray water to flush those toilets and water the lawn. Get people to give up lawns for water-wise landscaping. Raise the price of water. But Glick says nobody on the individual, local, state, or federal level is moving fast enough, comprehensively enough.
We're changing the most fundamental geophysical characteristic of the planet, and that's the climate. That changes the way we plan. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we use resources. It changes the way we build, or it ought to change those things. And it's not clear to me yet that we're going to be smart enough to adapt to that.
Yet Glick himself trumpets the fact that, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, individual Californians use 40% less water today than we did 30 years ago. Who's to say we can't do it again? This story brings our series on climate change in California to a close. Special thanks to our series editor and producer, Kat Snow. You can catch up on all the stories we produce for this series at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Monday, February 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.